Be back among the living. About 3:30 last Sunday morning, I finally had to decide I was not going to get over this fever, and I discovered two things at 3:30 in the morning. Number one, that I was confident we had somebody who could fill in at the last second, Bill Sherrill, and number two, that he would be awake at 3:30 in the morning. So I texted him, and about 5 minutes later, he responded. And so it's great, Bill. I appreciate it. It's great to have somebody that can fill in like that. We continue this morning through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're in chapter 3, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Thinking about time this morning, and you'll hear the term or the name Koheleth come up a number of times. If you haven't been following along with us, there's a booklet you can get out in the foyer. It has the same cover as you see on the screen here. And you can study along in Koheleth's journey with us and what he discovered and what we will discover with him. As is our custom, if you'd like to have the elder in the foyer, out in the conference room, actually, out the back doors and to your left, and you can meet with them. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we reflect upon time and your mastery over time this morning, we do stand in awe of you. And know that you are the one who holds time in your hands from beginning to end, that you are the master of all time, and that we simply live in this time that you've given us. Help us, Father, to appreciate the seasons of life that you have blessed us with, to appreciate all the things that you have given us, and know that you are looking out for our best throughout time. Through your Son we pray, amen. So, I was standing out here in the foyer this week, and I heard some wisdom come out of the Sunshine School. If you just ever want to learn some great stuff, just hang out with the preschool sometime. I'm out here in the foyer, and I hear this voice, and it's one of the teachers of the Sunshine School who says, "Listen here, mister." She knew this was going to be great right away. "Listen here, mister. You're not the one in charge around here." And I can just imagine what was going on. I mean, here's some child who doesn't want to do what the teacher wants him to do and thinks that he's the one running the show. And she was reminding him, no, in fact, you are not running the show. You don't really have a perspective of the grand scheme of what's going on here at Sunshine School. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many times God wants to say to us, "Listen here, mister, you're not the one running the show." Because we are so many times trying to manipulate and control situations and things in our lives that are really beyond our control. Things like time. Time keeps moving and nothing really can stop it. We get old before our time, right? We live on borrowed time. We are often at the wrong place at the wrong time. And rarely is time on our side. We lose track of time and time gets away from us. And it never seems to be the right time, does it? How often do you find yourself saying, "I can't wait until," right? Because right now isn't the right time. Then is going to be the right time. "I can't wait until I get out of school. I can't wait until I get married. I can't wait until I get that promotion." And parents say the same thing about their children. "I can't wait till he sleeps through the night. I can't wait until he's out of diapers. I can't wait until he gets in school. I can't wait till he gets out of school, and then we'll be empty nesters. Oh, it'll be great then." And because it doesn't seem like the right time ever, we're always trying to alter time in some way. We try to add hours to the day. You know, there's only 24 hours in the day, but you've got 25 hours worth of stuff to do. How are you going to take 25 hours and cram it into a 24-hour day? You know how you're going to do that, right? You're just going to do everything faster. And if you somehow do it faster, you're somehow going to fit it all into all of that because time is money, right? So you got to do things faster and faster and faster. This was drilled into me by the military machine. I remember going through boot camp, and you'd go through the line to get your food, and you'd get your food, and then you'd go stand in the line to put your tray away, and you're eating while you're standing in the line to put your tray away, because you got to move. Hurry up and wait is the standard operating procedure of the military. And I remember when Lisa finally came, and we were all together as a family again, the first dinner together, we had our prayer, and then she sat there to cut the kids' meat or whatever, and by the time she finished cutting their meat, I was done eating. I mean, it was over, because you have to eat fast. Move. You go fast and you save time. Time is money. Some of us are trying to turn back the clock. We missed this ideal time in our lives, or we had this ideal time in our lives, and we want to go back to it. And so we try to somehow go back and recapture that moment. And maybe a motorcycle will do it, or maybe a sports car, or a new love, and we can go back to that time. Or some of us are trying to stop time. The newest facial cream will do that, you know. Or if not that, there's a doctor who will do a little nip and tuck that will help to stop time. Or maybe a gym membership will help out. And yet it continues on, tick, tick, tick. Some of us would like time to go faster than it goes. Do you remember as you were a child, and Christmas wouldn't seem to come quite quick enough, or you were never going to be 16 years old. It just wouldn't come fast enough. Some have figured out, you know, that if you sleep, time seems to stop, right? I mean, you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning, it seems like 5 minutes or something like that. So, hey, if I've got something to do over the next 4 months I really don't want to do, if I sleep 12 hours a day, it's really only like it lasted 2 months, right? So we can stop time. Qohelet thinks about all these things and starts off chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes talking about it. But in the midst of all of this, he says something that seems really not to pertain to time. But if you think about it, it sort of does. He says, what do workers gain from their toil? Now again, as you're thinking about time, is your toil going to produce more time for you? Or is toil going to make the time go faster? Or is your toil somehow going to be able to make it go back? Or is your toil going to stop time? We're very often not happy with the time. It's either too late or it's too early. It's time to die, but we're not ready. Or we're ready, but it just won't come. And so we're frustrated by time because time is such an enigma. And Qohelet looks at all of this and sees that really, as you think about time, there is this great order to the universe and great order even to time. He says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You think about that. God has placed the sense of eternity in our hearts, the sense that there is something greater and massive out there, and yet we don't see the God picture in all things. We can't see the beginning and the end, so we're frustrated by all of this. And so one of the discoveries that Qohelet makes along his journey is that time belongs to God. He discovered this while racing around through his maze of life and then began to wax poetic about it. He wrote these words, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time of hate. A time for war and a time for peace." Baby boomers will remember the band The Birds, who made this into a popular song in the 60s. They were hoping that it was a time for peace in the midst of the Vietnam War. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. But what Qohelet says that it means to tell us is that all time is God's time. And things happen at God's choosing and at God's timing. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And yet none of us put that on our calendars. It happens without our choosing. And we have nothing to do with the seasons. There's a time for planting, and there's a time for reaping, and God has destined these times, but we have nothing to do with that. We just take advantage of God's time. There's a time for war, and yet we have nothing to do with the circumstances that bring about the war. And there's a time for weeping and a time for mourning, but we very often don't have anything to do with those circumstances. And as you think about a time to kill and a time to heal, how do you know when the right time is? When is the right time to kill? When is the right time to heal? When is the right time to tear? How would you know? And so time is this enigma for us. But Qohelet said it's not for God. God makes everything beautiful in its time. New Testament uses two words for time. One of them is chronos, from what we get our word chronology. It's the mapping of time and going on, and you can place things on a timeline and the chronology in which all of those things take place. The other word the New Testament uses is kairos, that there is a specific set time for certain things to take place. And the New Testament uses this term to talk about God bringing Jesus Christ into the world and his mastery over time. Several places here in the New Testament. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. There is a right time for Christ to be brought into the world, and God waited for this just right time. What is it that made it this right time? Was it that the world was sufficiently corrupt? Was it that Jews finally figured out that they were never going to be able to keep this law? Or is it because you have this united Roman Empire so that the gospel could be spread everywhere? Maybe. Could have been all of these things. Could have been none of these things. They are all part of God's mystery and God's time. The God who knows the end from the beginning, and the God who knows the things that we don't know. The God who makes everything beautiful in its time. If you haven't had your daily dose of depression this week, I encourage you to go home this afternoon and watch the news a little bit. You can hear stories that would tell you that the world is spinning out of control. There's another terrorist attack, or another politician saying something asinine, another virus that's being passed on by mosquitoes, or another crime that's being committed by some government official, or another sinkhole appearing in Florida and swallowing up cars. And it would seem like the world is on this speeding car and it's going nowhere and it's out of control because nobody has their hand on the wheel. Time marches on and on and on and repeats itself. History repeats itself, we're told. Which is how the ancients tended to see the world. It just keeps happening over and over and over again. And it's out of control, but time controls us. And then in the midst of that thinking and in the midst of that world, some profound words came to people in the Middle East. And these were the words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Think about how profound those words are when people think that time goes in circles and time is out of control. That in the beginning, there was a beginning. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He brought things to begin, and he will take them on to some place. There is not this endless circle, but in the beginning, God. And he's taking this story some place in his time. He makes everything beautiful in his time. But we're clueless about all of it, aren't we? Some of us imagine that we can see sometimes what God might be doing along the way and how God is making things beautiful and how God is working things out. And so some of us will begin to think that we have an idea of what God's doing here. And we'll think that God is somehow mastering things in our life. Oh, isn't God really blessing us and taking good care of us? He gave us this dream house that we've always wanted. And we'll say things like that. But what will we say a year from now when the house burns down? It's so hard to know. I'm reminded of the parable of the old man with the stallion. This old man in this poor country, and he was a poor man, had this beautiful white stallion. And people kept telling him, old man, you should sell the stallion. You could get so much money and take care of your family. But he refused to do it. And one day the stallion was gone. And they criticized him. Old man, see, you had your opportunity. You should have sold the stallion. You could have had so much. But now someone has stolen the stallion. See what a bad thing has happened to you. And all he would say to his neighbors is, you don't know if it's a good thing. And you don't know if it's a bad thing. All you know is that the stallion is gone. A while later, the stallion returned and brought others back with it. And they praised the old man. Oh, old man, this is so great for you. Now you have all these other stallions you can sell. And now you can really have a load of money. And he said, don't say it's a good thing, and don't say it's a bad thing. All you know is that my stallion has returned and brought all these others back with it. Well, then his son went out to break these horses so they could sell them. He's out there riding one of these horses one day, and is thrown off, and his leg is broken. And all of his friends say, "Oh man, you're right. It was such a bad thing for all those horses to come back because now your son's leg is broken." And the old man said, "When will you people learn? It's neither a good thing or a bad thing. All we know is that my son's leg is broken." And then the government came around to draft for the war, but his son could not be taken because his leg was broken. "Oh, old man," they said, "what a good thing it is your son's leg is broken so he could not go to war." And he shook his head one more time. "Don't say it's a good thing. Don't say it's a bad thing. All you know is that my son's leg is broken." It is so difficult to know for us what God is doing throughout his time. We know he makes beautiful, all things beautiful in his time. But it's so challenging for us to know exactly what God is up to. But we know this. Scripture tells us, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so as we think about this enigma of time and how really we don't have a grasp on what's going on in the world, what if we learn to live in God's time? In the moment, in the time that God has given us. What if we learn to enjoy now? Instead of always thinking it was better back then, or if we could speed up time, or if we could stop time, what if we could enjoy the time that God has given us now? Colette reminds us that all the joys that we experience come from God. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. That is a gift of God. What would it be like if we would enjoy the season that God has given us now? What would it be like to live in this moment? What would it be like to quit trying to stop time or make time go back or to hurry time? "Listen here, mister. You're not the one who's making things happen around here," the teacher said. And God, I think, would say the same to us. God makes everything beautiful in his time. Can we learn to live in his time and in his seasons? Let's stand and sing.